Please turn with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, starting there in verse 24. It's my privilege here this evening to share the Word of God. Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Praise the Lord. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can open your word. We thank you, Lord, that it instructs us. Lord, it shows us the way to go in this world. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would lead and direct the rest of this evening and pray that you would get all the glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. This is one of my favorite passages in the Word of God. This has encouraged me in many different time periods of my life. And when you read this, one question that I ask myself is, why did Moses choose suffering over pleasure? Doesn't make any sense. Why did he choose reproach over a privileged position in the court of Pharaoh? Possibly even being next in line to be Pharaoh. He had everything in this world. He had everything that this world has to offer, and yet he walked away from it. Why is that? How could someone choose suffering over pleasure? How could someone choose reproach over this privileged position? He walked away from it. You know, it's similar to a great missionary, C.T. Studd. He was in England in the early 1900s, and he was the Michael Jordan of cricket. If you can imagine such a thing. He was well known in the country as being a cricket star. In fact, he is written in the papers and everything. People knew who he was. He also was born in privilege. He was born a very wealthy family, in a mansion, a huge plot of land that he owned. And his father died, and he left the whole thing to him. And he walked away from it. He walked away from it, and he went to Africa to be a missionary. There's a great biography of him, and it shows a picture of his house there in England, his mansion that he walked away from. Then it shows him sitting next to a tent with a clothesline, with some of his clothes hanging there, in the jungle in Africa. What caused him to choose this? In fact, later on in his life, there's a great quote from him, C.T. Studd. He says, "Some wish to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." C.T. Studd. So back to Moses. What was it? What did C.T. Studd see? What did Moses see that caused him to turn his back on this world and choose something that just doesn't make sense in the natural? And it comes to this. He saw something better. He saw something better. You know, he had a different perspective. He had heaven's perspective. He saw something better, and he didn't take his eyes off of it. Take a look at Hebrews 11, 26. It says, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." That's King James. You have to look in a couple different translations to see what to make it bring out the meaning. Another translation says, "He fixed his gaze on the coming reward." His eyes were somewhere else. It says, or another translation says, "He looked away from all other considerations to the coming reward." his eyes were upon the invisible. And isn't that like the Lord Jesus Christ? In Hebrews 12, it says in verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that was set before him, he endured. See, we need to keep our eyes upon the invisible, the eyes of faith. Take a look at Hebrews 11:27. It says, for he endured, the second part of verse 27, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. In Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You know, as Christians, we walk in this life. We don't live for what we can see. We don't live for the world and what this world has. We live for something better, something invisible. You know, and you think about Moses here, and actually the whole chapter of Hebrews 11, Old Testament saints who gave up much to follow the way of faith. And what did they see? There in verse 13. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The Old Testament saints, it says that they didn't receive the promises. It says that they saw them afar off. Afar off. You know, the Old Testament, they saw a reflected light. They had light, but it was reflected. It's like the moon. The moon is not the source of light, but you see light from it. It's a reflected light. On the other hand, the sun is the source of the light. Today, we don't see them afar off. It's not that we don't receive the promises. We have received the promises. And we see the source of the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. The day has dawned. We see him. We see his glory. The express image of his person. We see him. And I believe that this is a key to the Christian life. What we're looking at. What are we looking at? We are bombarded with the world's perspective every day. And if we're not careful, we begin to think like the world. And what I want to talk about today is that we can endure when we're surrounded by opposition if we keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a wonderful song. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You know, when we keep our eyes fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, everything falls into the right perspective. And there's a wonderful quote. I don't have the exact quote, but it goes something like this. Oh, that men would take their eyes off of the imperfections of their own obedience and the imperfections of their own obedience and faithfulness, and turn their eyes to the perfections of the Lord Jesus Christ, and see ourselves complete in him. We're complete in him. Turn your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we get into a morbid self-introspection sometimes. You know, you look at yourself, you're going to get discouraged. I guarantee it. You're going to get discouraged. You look at the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be encouraged every time. And before I go any further, I just want to make sure that I'm being clear. I'm not saying that in order to live the Christian life, we need to do more, we need to try harder. That's not what I'm saying. That we need to try harder in the strength of the flesh. In fact, it's just the opposite. As we give up struggling in our own strength and learn to lean on and rely on His strength, we will find victory. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." Be strong in His might, His power. Take a look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 1. It says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And I like the Amplified version for verse 2. It says, set your minds and keep them set on what is above. Keep your mind, keep your eyes set on what's above. And later on, I'm going to get more practical what that means, how we can do that. But we want to keep our eyes upon the Lord. You know, we go about this life, and this life we have many, many decisions to make. And often there's trials. Often there's snares and pitfalls. And we try to avoid them. And what we do is we look down, and we try to avoid, we try to go the right way. And oh, we keep failing. We keep falling into the same pitfall. We keep falling into the same trap because we're trying in our own strength. But when you lift your eyes and you see Him, you walk right through the midst of the trials. You walk right through it because your eyes are fixed on Him. You know, He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. We keep our eyes on the shepherd and we'll be okay. It's when we get off and we start looking around, we're going to fall right in the mouth of the lion. But keep your eyes on Him. So let's look back in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 24. Back in the passage here. And there are three basic things that Moses had to deal with. Three basic things. Passions, possessions, and position. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at 1 John 2:15. 1 John 2:15. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lusts of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And there you have the three things. The lust of the flesh, passions. The lust of the eyes, possessions. And the pride of life, position in this world. Those are the things that he had to deal with. And, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. These are the same things that we struggle with every day. And what do we see back in Hebrews 11? The passions, the lust of the flesh. What was it? It was the pleasures of sin for a season. The possessions, the lust of the eyes. What was it? The treasures of Egypt. And position, the pride of life. What was it? The son, being the son of Pharaoh's daughter. These are all the things that he dealt with. And I'm just going to quickly go through each one of those. Passions, possessions, and position. Passions, the lust of the flesh. Something that it says here that I think is very illuminating and important. It says in verse 25, Hebrews 11, 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. For a season. It doesn't say that sin is not pleasurable, but it says it's passing away. It will not satisfy. You know, it fools you. It makes you think. We believe that it's going to satisfy. This is what I'm looking for. This is going to please me. This is going to make everything okay. But you know what? It passes away. And Moses understood that. Moses understood the pleasures of sin, they're going to pass away. They will never truly satisfy the longing heart. You know, we live in a hedonistic world. We live in a world that pursues pleasure, that with all of its might goes after pleasure. It can never get enough. And that's what happens. When we pursue pleasure, you can never get enough. In 2 Timothy 3:4, you don't need to turn to it, but Paul is warning Timothy about the latter times, and it says that men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I can tell you, I lived in Madison, I went to school there, and I pursued the world, and I was empty. I was empty inside. The pleasures of the world, they don't satisfy. You know, temporal things, doesn't matter what it is, temporal things will never satisfy because we're made for eternity. And only the eternal will bring rest in our souls. The Lord Himself and His calling in our lives. That's it. And that's why Moses could walk away from it. That's why Moses could walk away from the pleasures of sin for a season, because he knew what would really satisfy. Following God and His call in his life. That's what would bring peace. That's what would bring rest to a restless heart. Not the pleasures of sin. And there's a great promise here in Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 16. Galatians 5, 16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not submit to the demands of the flesh." The flesh makes demands. Our sin nature makes demands upon us. But if we walk in the Spirit, we don't need to submit to it. We can have victory. So that's passion. Next, possessions. Lust of the eyes, the treasures of Egypt. What was it that Moses could walk away from the treasures of Egypt? Because he saw greater riches in store for him, following the Lord, going after His purposes and plans for his life. You know, it says in Matthew 6, it says, lay up not for yourselves treasures on this world where moth and rust corrupts, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's what we're supposed to do. It says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." If our treasure is in this world, that's where our heart will be. If our treasure is in heaven, our hearts will be there. You know, Deion Sanders, he was a football star. He had everything. He would go from team to team, whoever would pay him the most money. I mean, he had it all. Neon Deion. He's got an autobiography. He came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And something that he talks about, you know, he had everything money could buy. He had it all. And one day he went out and he bought a Lamborghini, which is a very expensive Italian sports car. You think, man, if I just had a Lamborghini, boy, life would be so much better. So he went out and he got himself a Lamborghini. Well, he enjoyed it for a short time, but you know what happened? He had to go. It ran out of gas. That's how long it took until it ran out of gas before it was done. It doesn't satisfy any longer. It was fun for a little bit, but it's gone. You know, there's group counseling for lottery winners, people that win the lottery. They have to go in for counseling. Because you know what it is? Boy, if I just was rich, then my life would be so much better. Well, guess what? You get all this money and you realize my life isn't any better. There's something I'm missing. There's something missing in my life. There was a man from Africa, from Nigeria. He was an elder in an assembly there. And, you know, we think, you know, pray for the brethren in Africa. You know, and that's right. We need to pray for brethren all over the world. You know, they don't have anything. You know, they have to walk 5 miles to get water and all these kind of things that we think about. We pray for them, and we should. Well, he came to visit us in America. And you know what he said? I need to pray for you guys. You have anything you want whenever you want it. I need to pray for you that you don't get distracted with the things of this world. You know, really, the treasures of this world, the gold of this world, at the judgment seat of Christ, it's wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to get burned up, nothing left. But there are things that we can do that will stand that test of fire in that day. If the reproach of Christ, back in Hebrews 11, the reproach of Christ is greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt, how much more the reward of Christ? That's what we need to live for. What's to come? Now lastly, position. The pride of life. Moses was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. All that meant, you know, and really, we all want reputation. We all want recognition. We all want position. And Moses, he refused to find his identity in this world. His identity was wrapped up in God's purpose for his life. Moses, Romans 2:29 talks about being a Jew inwardly, the circumcision of the heart, who your praises is not of men, but of God. Do we live for the praises of men, or do we live for the praises of God in our lives? If we live for the praises of men, we'll do things, we'll compromise, we'll pursue that instead of the praises of God. You know, there's a movie that came out recently, Cheaper by the Dozen. It's a funny movie, but it's got a good message. Here was a man that he wanted to be a coach of big-time football, college football. He wanted to be a coach, and he was going to do anything to be a coach. And he got this position. But what he ended up seeing was his family was suffering because of it, because it demanded so much of his time and energy to be this coach that he gave it up. He gave it up because he saw what was really valuable, his family. He gave up that position. You know, that's what we do. We seek reputation. We seek recognition, reputation. We want that pat on the back. You know, and what does it say about the Lord Jesus Christ in Philippians 2? It said, he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. The lowly Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we willing to be nothing that Christ may be everything in our lives? Point to the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist. Don't look at me. Look at him. That's how we need to be. Don't look at me. I'm nothing. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. So, back here in Hebrews 11, just a few more thoughts. And then some applications, and then I'm done. But there in Hebrews 11, verse 24, just a few more thoughts here. By faith, Moses, when he had come to years, when he was come to years. You know, there was a point in Moses' life where he had grown up. He had to make a choice for himself. He was... And we all need to do that. We come to a point in our lives where we need to decide for ourselves, am I going to follow the Lord or am I going to follow the world? We need to decide that for ourselves. And there's young people here. Young people live according to the faith of their parents for a certain amount of time. But at one point, you need to make that decision. This isn't just my parents' God. This is my God, and I'm going to follow him. That's what Moses did. When he was come to years, he made that choice. And it says that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That refuse, that's the same word that's used when the Lord Jesus Christ says, if any man deny himself, let him take up his cross. You must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. That same word, deny, is the same word for refuse, reject, deny. We need to reject ourselves for the Lord. Refuse the lust of the flesh for the Lord. Again, not in our own strength, as we trust in Him. One more thing. Well, in verse 25, it says choosing. He made a choice. As I was saying before, he made a choice. He had to make a choice. And I remember I was getting on with the Lord, but I still wanted to have one foot in the world. And the Lord would say, follow me, and I'd go, I can't go any farther. My foot was stuck in the world, and I was not willing to let it go. And I remember one day singing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. And it scared the wits out of me. You mean I can't turn back? I mean, what if it's not all it's cracked up to be? I'm turning away from all this fun, pleasure stuff. The Lord said, follow me. And you know, and I did. And such peace and joy filled my heart when I decided to follow Jesus Christ. One more thought here in the passage, and then I have some applications. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. He endured. He was steadfast. He was patient. You know, I made that decision. I took my foot out of the world, and I started to follow Jesus Christ. But, you know, it's not all, you know, rosy and, you know, walking on air the rest of the time. You know, temptations come, trials come, things come into our lives. But he endured. Yeah, we need to make a choice. But as we go through our Christian lives, we need to endure. And the Lord is right there for us. The Lord is always just right there. There's a great verse here in Hebrews. It's in Hebrews 2:18. This one verse, and then I have some applications. But Hebrews 2:18. I need to start in 17. It says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to help them that are being tempted. The Darby puts it in the present, that are being tempted. Right in the middle of your temptation, he's there. Right in the middle of it. He's there waiting to help. And he's there. So, it's his strength that we trust in. So, just a couple applications here, and then I'll be done. But, how do we keep our eyes fixed on the Lord? How do we do that? It's easy to say. We sing songs about it. How do we do that? I think one thing that we need to do is stay in the Word of God every day. Take a look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1:4. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know, as we open up the Word of God and we read the precious promises that God has for us, He will strengthen us. In fact, it says that we'll be partakers of the divine nature. His strength. We're going to know His strength in this life as we remain in the Word of God. And that's all it takes. Just read a portion of Scripture. And you'll have your perspective raised. And that's what happens. You know, if I'm not in this Word, my perspective lowers. And I begin to believe things in the world. I begin to look for answers other places. The Lord, He will change our perspective as we remain in the Word of God. So that's the first application. Be in the Word. Allow Him to raise your perspective. Another application is come to hear the Word being preached. When there's opportunity to hear the Word of God being preached. You know, it says through the foolishness of preaching, God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. It's through the preaching of the Word that we're encouraged, that we're lifted up. We need to hear the Word being preached. And also, one last thing, be with people that have the same perspective. You know, when I was in college, I lived in a home or an apartment with a bunch of guys. It wasn't a home. It was nowhere near being a home. It was a pit. It was what it was. Ask Aaron. We began to talk alike. We began to walk alike. We began to wear our hats the same way. You know, I mean, just whoever you're hanging out with, that's what you're going to become like. You're going to become like that. And we did. If you spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be like Him. So, and if you're with people, the people of God, if you're with God's people, you're going to be like Him. So be with people that have the same perspective, people that have the same desires. I want to be like Jesus. I want to walk with Him. I want to walk in the light. I don't want to fall prey to the perspectives of this world. I want to follow Jesus Christ. So, praise the Lord. It's a great passage, Hebrews 11. Moses, he followed the Lord Jesus. He followed the Lord. And the Lord calls us to follow Him. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You and praise You that we have a Savior. We thank You, Lord, that You desire us to keep our eyes fixed upon Him. And, oh Lord, so often we get distracted, so often we get discouraged. Oh Lord, help us to lift our eyes. Lord, help us to see Him. Oh Lord, we do thank You and praise You that we have Your Word, Lord, that we can learn and we can read about what You think about things. And Lord, You can open up our eyes to Your will in Your Word. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that You would cause us to see the treasures that we have in You, the precious treasures, Lord, as we open up Your Word. Heavenly Father, we do pray that You would just help us now to walk holy lives in this corrupt world. Help us, Lord, to be trusting in our Savior and, oh Lord, not struggling in our own strength, but Lord, learning to rely upon Your strength. Lord, we give You all the glory now. We praise You and thank You for this time. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.